In 2006, Don Siegelman, Alabama's former Democratic governor, was convicted on corruption charges and sentenced to 7 years in prison. But top Alabama Republicans involved in the same scandal were not investigated or prosecuted. And on today's Underreported, I'm joined by Adam Zagarin, a journalist for Time magazine who's been investigating what happened in Alabama and whether Karl Rove may have been involved. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be with you.
The first surprise is that a Democrat was elected governor of a very red state like Alabama. Was Don Siegelman a popular politician?
Yeah, he was. He's actually the most popular Democrat in Alabama in some years. He's a tireless campaigner. He has a great deal of energy, which is one reason why, he essentially, in the view of many people, would, you know, simply out-campaign opponents and so forth. And so he's held most of the statewide offices in Alabama, culminating with his governorship. He was elected first in 1998. And then he ran for re-election in 2002 and lost very, very narrowly in what was a disputed vote.
Has he been able to work well with Republicans as well as Democrats?
Well, the environment in Alabama has become extremely partisan, and so the ability of anybody to work with the other party has been somewhat limited. On the other hand, a lot of what Siegelman tried to do, if you look at platforms and programs and so forth, would fall under the category of good government type things, you know, promoting education and things of that nature.
So is it a surprise that he was involved in a corruption scandal?
There is a fair amount of corruption scandals are not at all unknown in Alabama. Former governors, for example, Republicans, including a prominent Republican, have been accused of corruption and so forth. Governor Siegelman was not the only defendant at his own corruption trial. There were three other defendants. One of whom, Richard Scrushy, the former chairman of Health South Corporation, was convicted with Governor Siegelman. And then two others who were both senior aides to Governor Siegelman were acquitted. But from my reading of what happens or seems to happen in Alabama is that you have it's a relatively small state in terms of the political establishment and the lawyers and the legislators, and a lot of these people know each other quite well, and they compete for state contracts and so on and so forth. And so it's a somewhat cozy arrangements that one sees down there.
And at the center of
time to time, and many of those arrangements are never prosecuted, and then, of course, sometimes they are.
In this case, involving a man named Lanny Young, who was he and what did he do that made his campaign contributions illegal?
Well, Lanny Young was a lobbyist and also a landfill developer, which is landfills are garbage dumps. And he would, so they would involve state contracts. And typically when you, the siting, the size, and the use of a landfill or garbage dump is dependent on, the state or local contracts. With respect to environmental stuff and where the waste comes from and so on and so forth. And in the process of getting these contracts and conducting other business ventures that he was involved in, he would give substantial campaign contributions to candidates from both parties, Republican and Democrat, in various positions in the state of Alabama. And we know that because, first of all, some of his contributions are in the public record, duly recorded by the appropriate authorities. But we also know it because the state of Alabama, under the then Attorney General of Alabama, began an investigation into a one of his business ventures. And that investigation ultimately led to Governor Siegelman and others. And in the process, Mr. Young gave numerous statements to federal and state investigators in Alabama, in which he discussed his political contributions and how he did what he did.
My guest is Adam Zagarin of Time magazine. He's written an article about the bringing up on corruption charges and conviction of Don Siegelman, Alabama's former Democratic governor, last year. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. The thrust of your article is that this was a kind of a selective prosecution. Is this in any way tied to the federal prosecutor scandal that got Alberto Gonzalez into so much trouble?
I would. The short answer would be yes. What got Mr. Gonzalez into trouble was that there were a group of approximately eight U.S. attorneys in different parts of the United States who lost their jobs. And the reasons that they lost their jobs came into dispute. And it turned out that there were quite a few allegations that they had lost their jobs because they had not carried out the prosecutions that the Justice Department wanted them to carry out, in particular prosecutions that allegedly would have targeted Democrats or assisted Republicans in some fashion.
Right
in
before
other words,
elections.
Politically motivated prosecutions.
And they would be right before elections, and that's what happened here, isn't it? Lior Canary is the person involved. Her husband is a friend of Karl Rove's.
Yeah, that's correct. But the slight difference here is this is, you know, each of these cases involving a U.S. attorney in some location or another that's been involved in this controversy is somewhat different. And in the Alabama case, you have the U.S. attorney whose name is Laura Canary, and she was never fired. Or threatened with losing her job. And in this case, it was her office who, in fact, did go after Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, and indeed other Democrats as well.
Although she recused herself from the case.
She recused herself. This case was under investigation for a very long time. Specifically, it began in the investigation, anyway, began in 2001. Governor Siegelman was first indicted in 2005, and he was not tried until 2006, and he did not go to prison until 2007. So this happened over a period of years. And Laura Canary, the U.S. attorney whose office prosecuted this case, recused herself quite early in the process, which is to say in May 2002 she stepped out of the case. There has been since a dispute as to whether she, in fact, continued to influence the case in some fashion after she stepped out of it. But the record shows, at least, that she did formally recuse herself at that time. But what's interesting is that before she recused herself, in fact, while she was running the case, Mr. Lanny Young, this guy we talked about, made a large number of admissions to her investigative team And to the investigative team supplied by the state of Alabama under the Attorney General's office down there against key name, very well-known Republicans in the state. He said these things about these Republicans again and again, specifically that he laundered political contributions to them. And what the people we're talking about here are the United States Senator Jeff Sessions, a Republican of Alabama, and a federal appeals court judge from Alabama, who at that time, at the time of the allegations, was in fact the attorney general of the state of Alabama, and his name is Bill Pryor. And Mr. Young stated repeatedly and in detail that he laundered political contributions to both of these gentlemen. And he said this to representatives of Laura Canary, the U.S. attorney, at a time when she was not recused from the case. And believe it or not, he also said it to representatives of Bill Pryor. So that what that means is that Mr. Young was making allegations about the sitting, then-sitting Attorney General of Alabama to his own investigators. They never recused themselves or did anything. And the whole investigation went on essentially as if the allegations had never been made. They were never investigated, and nothing ever happened.
And didn't a prominent Republican attorney give a notarized statement that she heard Bill Canary say Karl Rove had spoken with the Department of Justice about pursuing Don Sigelman?
Right. Now, that's also true. Just before I get into that, that is separate and apart from the allegations about leading Alabama Republicans that Lanny Young made during the investigation. Separately from that, a lifelong Republican lawyer in Alabama. This is not a Democratic figure or anyone associated in any way with the Democratic Party trying to make some point. This woman, Dana Jill Simpson, is a Republican lawyer in Alabama, and more than just that, she is actually a fairly she's a party activist. She's been assisting the Republican Party in elections going back quite a few years, you know, to triumph over Democrats. And so what she did was she said that she participated in a conference call in which the leading Republican political operative in the state, a man named Bill Canary, who is a long time friend and associate of Karl Rove. According to this woman, she heard Bill Canary in this phone call say that he had been consulting Karl Rove specifically about pursuing Don Sigelman criminally. And the implication was to get him out of office, or to remove him from the political scene in Alabama so that he would not be able to run for governor again.
Can Don Sigelman use this information as part of an appeal?
I would say that some of it can be used and some of it cannot be used. The law on appeals is that an appeals court deals with that material which is in the record of the lower court. So, in other words, everything that happened at Siegelman's trial that's in the trial record, if there are mistakes or issues there, they can be appealed. What we're talking about, namely the affidavit of this woman and her statements about the involvement of Karl Rove, and the statements made by Lanny Young about leading Republicans, none of that is in the trial record, and I'm not sure that it would be, in the way that appeals work, that it would be available to the defense as it sought to appeal. The defense has other things it can use to appeal, but I'm not sure that those are among them.
Now, this article appeared in Time magazine, a four-page article, some weeks back, and as far as I can tell, it hasn't been picked up by the national media. Why do you think that is? I mean, this is a rather explosive story.
Well, it has been picked up in some places. First, you were referring to the national media. Let me just say, for starters, that the certainly the Alabama press has discussed it at great length. Now, as far as the national press goes, you're right, it has not been extensively discussed. It was mentioned in a New York Times editorial, and it did come up at hearings that were held by the House Judiciary Committee quite recently, some days ago, at which the case of Don Siegelman was explored by the committee as to see whether there had been other problems with the case.
Meanwhile, is he in
It did
jail?
come up in that context as well.
Is he in prison right now?
Yes. Governor Siegelman is in the federal prison camp in Oakton, Louisiana. And he was actually, his imprisonment is another unusual aspect of the case. Typically, if this might not apply to violent criminals, but most people who are involved in nonviolent crimes, and when they are expected to make appeals, and certainly Governor Siegelman has appealed and was fully expected to appeal, after sentencing, people are often allowed, you know, anywhere from a few days to several weeks or whatever to get their affairs in order. Before they have to report to prison, and in many cases they don't have to report to prison at all because pending the outcome of their appeal, whatever that might be. But in Governor Siegelman's case, the judge ordered that he be seized in the courtroom. He was literally shackled immediately upon sentencing and taken away to a federal prison in Atlanta, and then they moved him to various other locations around the country before finally taking him down to this facility in Louisiana. And this isn't my personal opinion, but many people have commented on the harsh, not to say draconian, treatment that this Governor Siegelman received. I mean, no one suggested that he was a flight risk or that, you know, typically other individuals, public officials or criminals facing or allegations similar to his have not been treated in this way.
We have put a link to Adam Zagarin's most recent Time Magazine article on the Don Siegelman case on our webpage. You can check it out at wnyc.org if you want to read more details. My great thanks to you, Adam, for talking with us today. Adam Zagarin of Time Magazine.
Thank you. Thank you.